Lord, good in it. Brother Donnie, who's that you got with you this morning? That's what I thought. Good to have y'all. Y'all got a good boy. We left to hear him preach. And I'm sure he's got a good mom and sister, and we're glad to have y'all. Good to have every one of you. Me and Brother Larry go to the prison. If you ever got to going, you'd go just to hear Brother Donnie preach. Wouldn't you, Brother Larry? We got there before Brother Donnie did Tuesday night. I said, look to Brother Larry. I said, you better be ready to preach. Say, Brother Donnie don't get here. But there he drove up. Wow, what a wonderful time we had in the Lord. It's good to see you again. Turn with your Bibles this morning. I'd like to share another little word with us. I believe God's been laying on my heart. Acts chapter number 4. These boys were talking about a while ago, never sung them songs, never that verse or something. But once in a while, we'll be on some scriptures we hadn't been on before either, but you just had to tackle them. God laid them on your heart. Acts chapter number 4. Verse number 12 and 13. Neither is our salvation in any other. But none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and listen to this, now perceived that they were ignorant, unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, we need to be need some less knowledge in some areas, but we need to be known as being with Jesus. They said they were ignorant and unlearned, but thank God there were some things they weren't ignorant of. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. And God don't want us to be ignorant. Would you pray with us? Our Father, we thank you for another day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for these songs. It brought us up to the throne room of grace in praise and worship. Now we do thank you for all that you're doing and all your mercy you've shown us. Thank you for this thy people you brought together here this morning. Bless them, our Father, with your word. I pray you'd open the scriptures up unto us. Illuminate our minds. Saturate our hearts with your eternal word. Speak to us and through us, that you may be glorified, that your saints may be edified, sinners would be saved, and we'd have a knowledge, real knowledge, true knowledge, and not be ignorant of your eternal word and the things you've shown us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know what? Peter and John had been with the Lord Jesus Christ, and people knew it. They could sense it. They could see it. And I'll tell you something. If you walk with him, they can see him in us. It sure is everything. They had boldness. They had boldness. And he said that Peter and John perceived. They perceived. You know what they were? Just fishermen. That's their schooling. That was what they'd been doing, but God got a hold of him. Can you imagine the boldness that Peter had here? You know, where a long priest to go when he denied the Lord. But I tell you, out of the day of Pentecost, and he came back, he went out and wept bitterly, and God mightily filled him with his spirit. God mightily used him, and here he is, a man of boldness, perceiving, walking by the Lord, and Jesus was seen in their lives. They knew they'd been with him. No other way that they could see that they could do the things that they were doing. But they perceived. But they were just a normal person. But they said they were ignorant. Said they were unlearned. But they'd been with Jesus. Now which one? You don't have to be You might be, they may, somebody may call you ignorant from the world standard, but if you've been with Jesus, you're all right. Amen. They may call you unlearned, but if you've been with Him, that's all right. Just walk on with Him. And certainly I'm not against schooling. I'm not against going to colleges. I'm not against going to seminaries. But you know, when I first started preaching, of course, I already had, I think we had about three kids, and we had several more since. But people kept saying to me, "Hey, when you gonna go to school? When you gonna start preaching?" I said, "I'm preaching hard as I can." But you know, it's not for everybody. But you know what I really want to be? I want to be with the Lord. I want to be with Him. Don't mean you can't go to school and be with Him, but I'll tell you what, Peter and John and them, they knew the Lord, and they knew that He was the one they needed to be with, and they were with Him. And He was with them. Hallelujah. But they said they were ignorant. But I want to share some things. If you'll go with me a little further in the book, I want to look at Romans 10 this morning in a few moments. And there's some things that we don't need to be. I just want to share that with about them. But he says some things that we don't need to be arrogant of. And the first thing I could think of, there's several things in the Bible that talks about not being ignorant. So I had one of them in Sunday school. And maybe we may look at it a little later while. But he said in Romans chapter number 10. He said, Romans chapter 10, 1 said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I want to say something before going any further there. Whatever the desire your heart is, if it's a real desire of your heart, it ought to be, listen, there's something that can help it bring it to pass. That's prayer. Amen. He said, "My heart's desire and prayer," he said, "for Israel that they might be saved." And if you got somebody on your heart, want to see them saved, that's a desire of your heart. I want to tell you, we need to pray for them. Paul said, "My prayer is, my desire is, for Israel that they might be saved." But he said, "By them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." You know what the Bible says? Men's ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a knowledge, but we need the knowledge of the truth. And he said we must pray. And God had a desire on Paul's heart, and he prayed. Then he said something in verse number 3. "For they being ignorant," what of? God's righteousness. And so the first thing that they were ignorant of was God's righteousness. But God don't want us to be ignorant of His righteousness, but they were ignorant of it. You know why? They went about to establish their own righteousness. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That will never work. Never. You know what our own righteousness is? You know what they are? Filthy rags. You know a little problem I had before God saved me? I can do good as them folks in church. I lived around some of them. Went to work with some of them. Went and was around a bunch of them. I said, "Some of them ain't no better than I am." But I'm going to tell you, one day God healed me up. And you know what? I was trusting in my own righteousness. But I found out one day that our own righteousness is filthy rags. And he don't want us to be ignorant of God's righteousness. Well, what is God's righteousness? You know what it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can satisfy the demands of unholy and righteous and eternal God. And He is our righteousness. And that's why the Bible said that no other name given in heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care where it's the president or whoever it is. It says there's many ways. There's not but one way. He's the door. If you try to go any other way, it's same as a thief and a robber. And thank God we don't need to be ignorant of God's righteousness. Must not be ignorant of it. Paul said, "Are you ignorant of God's righteousness? You can't get it by the law. You can't get it by your own self. And they was ignorant of God's righteousness, so they'd go about establishing their own, setting up their own righteousness, establishing their own righteousness. And you know why? They were sort of rebellious. They had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That is submission. That's a surrender. That's a submission and a surrender that we must submit and surrender to the righteousness of God and just tell Him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. My righteousness is filthy rags. I submit and surrender to You unto Your righteousness. He'll clothe you. He'll save you. And so said, I'm not. God said He don't want us to be ignorant of it. Paul said, you're ignorant of it. Well, some people's ignorant of God's righteousness, and some people's ignorant of who God's provided. That's Christ. They say, what is it? I mentioned just a little bit ago. It's Christ. That's Him. And then also people's ignorant of how to receive it. How in the world am I going to receive the righteousness of God? Well, it's certainly not by the law. We can't receive it by being good. It's by faith. By faith. We receive. What happens? We died in Adam. We all live in Christ. We say to ourselves, we receive the righteousness of God, which is Christ. We receive Him by faith. At what He did for us on Calvary, suffered and bled and died on the cross, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad one day God let me see that. I'm glad one day God let me see I couldn't save myself. I'm glad one day God let me see I couldn't hide behind other people. And let me see not only who righteousness was, but how that we could receive it ourselves. The righteousness of Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Everyone that what? Believe it, there it is. Amen. It's Christ. He's the end of the law for righteousness. Law can't bring it. Law can't give it. It's the schoolmaster to bring us where? To Christ. He's letting us know we broke the law of God. He's letting us know that we're sinners. Telling us we are. But He can't give it to us. It's Christ. You know what? I'm so glad. You know what? What I really realize, and I realize it more every day, after being a Christian for 40-something years, I'm going to tell you something. I realize more today than I did 40 years ago. There's more of Him and less of me. And I'm so glad that I don't have to depend on my own righteousness. Well, God don't want us to be ignorant of His righteousness. Well, I'm going to go on this one a little further quickly. God don't want us to be ignorant of some more things. Amen. Look what He said in 2 Peter, chapter number 2. No, it's chapter 3, excuse me. You know, I got scoffers and mockers coming. You know, where's the promise of His coming? You know what He said in 2 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians, 2 Peter chapter number 3. Where's the promise of His coming? That's verse 4, but verse number 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant. You know what? God don't want us to be ignorant of His promises. I could send up here and name you after and after. He don't want us to be ignorant of the Scriptures. Amen. Yeah. He said you could do greatly err not knowing the Scriptures nor what? Power of God. He don't want us to be ignorant of the power of God. He don't want us to be ignorant of the promises of God. He don't want to be ignorant of what God has promised us in His Word. And we'd only be ignorant of God's Word. There's no reason for being ignorant of His Word. If you'll get in it, we'll get in it. He'll reveal it to us. We can understand what the Spirit of God wants us to understand. He don't want us to be ignorant of His Word. But these were ignorant of it, saying, By the word of God, the heavens were old, and the earth stand out of water and in the water, where the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perish. But the heavens and earth, and which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved of fire against the day of judgment, and perdition of ungodly men. Look at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. God doesn't want us to be ignorant of his promises. He said he's coming back. He's coming. And I'll tell you something else. You don't want us to be ignorant of this too. You know what? One day the Lord's 1,000 years is a day. That's what he said in verse 8. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is the Lord's 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You said God about to run out of time. Never will. Glory to God. Time's nothing to him. He's always been, always will be. Listen, today, a day is like 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is a day. Thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. Don't be ignorant of the thing, the things of God. Somebody said God's a little behind time. No, he's coming. He's coming one day. But I'll tell you something. It's on his own calendar, his own time. But it's one day with the Lord's 1,000 years, 1,000 years in one day. That means the fact that God, listen, time's nothing to him. You know what everything is? It's like present to him. Whether it's past or whether it's future. Now, it's a lot of difference, 1,000 years in one day to us. If the Lord said he'd tarry, we knew none of us had to be worried. Now, what's going on here 1,000 years from now? Just put 100 there, and most of us would be gone. But he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about it. You know what that helps me? In understanding prophecy, promises, fulfillment of the word, knowing. I thought a lot of times, looked like that done come to pass. Well, he's just not in a hurry. He's long-suffering. You know why? Not willing that any, what, should perish. Carol said something I hadn't even really thought about. You know, they captured, killed one of those that did that in Boston, the suspect they call it. Captured the other one, he's wounded. I hadn't heard from him today or yesterday, I don't think. But she said something I hadn't thought about. She said, well, they didn't kill him. He may go to prison. Maybe somebody will preach to him. Yeah. You know what? Paul was consenting to murder. He was there when they stoned Stephen. They laid his clothes at his feet. God miraculously saved him on the road to Damascus. If I thought those prisoners couldn't be saved, wouldn't there be no need for me to go on down there? But I believe with all my heart, God's able to save unto the uttermost. Unto the uttermost. I believe he is. God is able to save. He can heal sinners. He can forgive murders. He can. I don't ask them what they've done. I just tell them what Jesus has done. What he did on Calvary. By the way, sometimes we try to catalog our sins and make ours not look too bad. If I can read the scripture right, Jesus said, you know, we said, commit adultery. He said, whoso look upon a woman, he gets it down there. Commit adultery in her heart if you look in lust. You know what else he said? He said, if you hate your brother, same in murder. Now, I didn't say, just go kill somebody because you hate them now. I'd rather get forgiveness for hate than I had for murder. Real, actual, go through. But I said that to say this, Jesus is there to forgive to uttermost.
Amen. And he said, don't be ignorant of the 1,000 days of the Lord. The Lord ain't slack, verse number 9, concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long suffer, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. You know what the Bible says? It's a time, verse Acts, I believe it's Acts 17. You know what it says? It says it's a time when God winked at ignorance. Didn't he? Dad say that, brothers? But you know what he does now? He said, but he commands men everywhere to what? Repent. Well, I ain't needed that stool. Let's get back behind me. He commands men everywhere what? Repent. I'm glad he let me repent. Now that I got saved, I didn't know how to pray. Oh, I'd prayed a few times when I got in tight place. Prayed a little when I dreamed when I died and went to hell. But that night somebody come put an arm around me and said, just pray God be merciful to you, a sinner. Never could I have thought of all the sin. Never could I name them all. Never could I even thought of all of them. But when I prayed God be merciful to me, a sinner, but Raymond, I found something. He's merciful to sinners. And God don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that he'll save you into the uttermost, that he'll give you his righteousness. Just exchange what you got for what he got. Hallelujah. Well, I got to go to, I'm going over where y'all was in Sunday school this morning. I was already looking at this, and Carol usually tells me if I hadn't already looked at it, and I hadn't this week, she said, our Sunday school wrestling about some of your favorite scripture. I couldn't tell you how many times I've used the scripture gravesides, many of them. Look at verse 14 of 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. I not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Well, you know, Jesus told them about Lazarus. You know what he said about him? He's asleep. They said, well, if he's asleep, he's doing all right. Of course, then he told them he had to explain it to him. He's dead. But he said he's sleeping. Now God said he didn't want us to be ignorant concerning those which are asleep. Now you said, I thought the Bible says when the absence of the Lord is present, the absence of the body is present, but the Lord it is. Yeah. You're really there with him. What's the sleeping? The body. Body's sleeping. Yeah. Yes. You know, I saw a verse of scripture now looking at this and something I never thought of. And once in a while you run across something you hadn't thought of. And Brother Donnie, and it's simply this. You know what the Bible said in the book of Corinthians? Know you not that your bodies are a member of who? Of Christ. Now, when that body dies, it is not no member no more? Still member. Still. That body's a member. I don't know about you, but I never had a shouting spell. Yeah, I'm sleeping. That's why he said, when he comes, a dead in Christ. Them bodies are still members of Christ, even in the graves or wherever they may be. If they're going back to the dust of the earth, they still members of Christ. And by the bodies are waiting to redemption, glory to God. And in that atonement, there's redemption of the body. And one of these days, thank God, God don't want us to be ignorant of the fact that this old vile body will be changed, transformed into the image of his what? Glorious body. And so my body is in the grave sleeping if I go out this world before Jesus comes. And I know just a few months ago I almost left here. But if I'd left, my body being sleeping, I've been with Jesus. I go by these graves. I was counting them yesterday.
Think everybody out there is kin to me. Except Brother Tim, them son. And he is too.
He's a brother in the Lord. Sister-in-laws, son, great-granddaughter. But one day, the trumpet's going to sound.
You know why I don't need to be ignorant of that? He said, not ignorant. Because he said, as you saw not even as others which have no hope. You know why? Wept some, still weep once in a while. But you know what my hope is? Even for my own son, I'm going to see him again. And that body is sleeping. And if you're ignorant of the fact, listen, if I was ignorant of the fact that I'm not, now God's let me see it, he's going to get up. You know why? Them that's sleeping, Jesus, his body's sleeping, God's going to bring with him. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he going and spirit's going to be in there with the Lord, soul and spirit, and what's going to happen? And grave's going to bust open. Body's coming out. That old vile body is going to be changed like the glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to unite back together. And if we're here and still alive, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds and forever to be with the Lord. Thank God to never be away from him no more. I'm glad, Dora, that God said it in Moses to be ignorant of the fact that that's what's ahead of us. That's our hope. Thank God that's our hope.
They get it. I see two ladies sitting there again. Sort of, I thought about the other day. One of them, the last funeral I preached before I got sick, and nothing's the first one since I got back. Both of them sitting back there. They're getting up, girls. Won't be the same body.
Whoa, may look like it in some resemblance. We'll know them when we see them, but thank God. It'll be fastened, that old vile body. This old corruption will put on incorruption. This immortality put on mortality. This weakness will put on power. We're going to have a wonderful time. Glory to God. And God don't want us to be ignorant of it.
You know what keeps me going? Knowledge of the fact. I'm going to see him again. I don't know if I ever told you this or not. After my daddy passed away, just a night or two after, it's for the funeral, for the preacher's funeral. I was in, I guess you'd call it the closet, pray a lot, even in the little bathroom, it's a small room. And I was in there praying. I didn't see anything, but you know what it's just like. It's just like he come by there, said everything's going to be all right. While I was praying, I said, glory to God. He may be hanging around, may not got there yet. I'm going to tell you something. My dad didn't have a lot of education. Eighth grade. But I'm going to tell you something. He'd been with Jesus. I can assure you that. Smart. Full of knowledge. Full of wisdom. But I'll never forget that night. Encourage me. Strengthen me. He said, oh, I don't believe that. Well, that's all right. You can not believe it. You don't want to. But it's just like he's in a room with me.
But he said, they that sleep, ignorant though they sleep, you saw not even as other which have no hope. There'd be a little sorrowing, a little weeping, a little crying. Jesus seen wept at the Lazarus, at death at the grave of Lazarus. But he called him forth. You know, Martha said, I know you'll raise it. He'll come out there at the resurrection. You know what Jesus said? I am the resurrection. That's why he's our righteousness and he's our resurrection. This is strange. We was in the doctor's office. You will not believe the opportunities we've had to talk about the Lord. And even while I was in the hospital, while I was in rehab. And anyway, doctor done gone out. And this guy come in to took a, what was that, Carol? Impress, yeah, on my foot. Because I'm missing part of some of my toes now. And they're gonna fix my insert to go on my shoe. Well, so we was talking, and somehow the subject got up, and Carol said to him, "Dad, you know, we had to get some shoes. We want to get some shoes. See, I got these still on. You see, that blue matches this blue, what Leroy said." Nobody thought of that of him. But you know what met this guy? And his name was Joe, first name was Joe. Boy, he got talking about the Lord. He said, "Well, I got four pastors now preaching out of them shoes. I'm on. So next Sunday, I hope I have them other shoes. Toe be covered up. Supposed to be fitting them and have some insert to go in there." But he got talking about the Lord. He sure did. And he got to telling us, he witnesses too, the people come in there. And he said this guy didn't much believe in the Lord. He asked him, said, "Well, who's going to get you out of the grave?" He said he got to thinking then. "Boy, I wouldn't want to stay in that grave. You know what? Once it's dead in Christ rise first, you know how much longer them other ones going to be in there? 1,000 years after millennial reign. Then they're going to be resurrected, but they ain't headed to no good place. They in hell now, and they'll be resurrected, go back in their bodies, and be put in a lake of fire. Now, I'm telling you, a lot of people don't believe in hell no more, don't believe in the lake of fire no more, but it's so. Jesus came to prepare a way. You don't have to go there." But anyway, the guy got on, got talking about the Lord, said he went to one of the largest churches. I never did ask him, none of my business, but I didn't ask him where he went to, a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, what kind of church he went to, or a seminary church, or whole, I don't know what kind of church he went to. But he said that he won the largest church in Dothan. And he said something else. He said, went to church one day. He said he's not talking about all his conveniences and modern stuff going on now, temporary and everything else. He said, they told us, we went there and there weren't no song books. It's all gone. And then he got up there and they told him, "So you don't need them no more. We're going to put it on the screen." He didn't like it. I said, "I won't either." And he said, "Weren't long, just a few weeks." He went one day and said, "You don't know how to bring your Bibles back no more." I said, "That's a big no-no." He said, "We're going to put that on the screen." Well, honey, I still believe in the old book, Bible, right here, and I still believe in song books. I don't use them sometimes. Some of them songs we've sung so long, I know them by heart. I don't know them to start singing, then they come to me. That's just like a lot of scripture. I know a few scripture, but I can't quote them, but they come to me sometimes. But that's what he was sharing with us and telling me how that it gone convenience, it gone this, and of course, anyone tell me, said our preacher, now, said he could come in about, because sometimes I come in a little late, but he'd come in after 3 or 4 songs. And they said, when what he does in song, when it gets through preaching, goes out the side door, said, we don't ever see him. Well, I'm going to stay back in there. But we had a good time in the Lord. Amen. So I'll probably see him again Tuesday. He's supposed to fit my shoe on Tuesday. But you know what? God don't want us to be ignorant. And I'm glad to run in. And you know what I found out? There's one heart doctor. You know what he told me when I first come back to him and got to see him? When I was so bad off, he said, "I prayed for you every day." Sure did. That's kind of like wanting working on me. But the prayer probably do more good than anything else. But he said to him, "That sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him? Bodies asleep in the grave, and those are absent, the bodies present with the Lord, coming back with him." And you know what? We which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are what? Asleep. You're not going to hinder them, not prevent them. The Lord himself in verse 16 to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
They're going to get up before we go up. And then we're going to meet them up there. I want to tell you something. That's my hope. That's my hope for those in the grave. That's a hope for we that'll be alive when Jesus comes. Then verse 17 says, and then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. So God don't want us to be ignorant of his righteousness. He don't want us to be ignorant of his return. And he don't want us to be ignorant of the rapture. And thank God he don't want us to be ignorant of the resurrection. You know why they call the Sadducees sad, you see? You know why they didn't believe in the resurrection? They didn't believe in it. Sorry for them. Well, somebody said, I don't see how they can get up like that. Well, you explain to me how you can put a grain of corn in the ground and come up. It's got to die first. I mean, it sprouts out. Does it come out? Does it look like a grain when it comes out? Sure don't. It'll make some. Huh? Well, thank God we've sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in honor. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Why? Of his glorious power, the one that we're serving and the one that we're living. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want to be ignorant of the Scriptures. I don't want to be ignorant of his salvation. I don't want to be ignorant of his promises. I don't want to be ignorant of anything he wants me to know. Now, God ain't told us everything. But anything in his book, he's told us. He wants us to know it. He sure does. Amen. Yes, he does. Well, I don't want to get too long. I'm feeling this preaching coming back on.
Go ahead.
Praise God. Ain't he good? He sure is. He's wonderful. He's marvelous. He's glorious. And he's wonderful. Would you stand with me? If they're going to come, we're going to sing.